Since 1970, the Dolphin Studio in the Berkshire Hills of Western Massachusetts has been a family-run handscreen printing company. Founded by John and Prim French, it's currently run by sisters Crispina French and Sophia Hughes. In honor of their 50th anniversary, WAMC's Alan Chartok sat down with Crispina and Sophia and began by asking about their unique calendar.
Now, one of my favorite things is each year the Dolphin Studio produces a 13-page calendar featuring artwork designed by three generations of family members, and the Chartoks have bought the calendars every year, as you probably know, and we send them to our offspring and their children, and we wouldn't do without them. Now, in the beginning, it was just Prim, a great artist who taught art at Monument Mountain High School, and John, who taught art there too, and they would do it. And then somehow the kids came into it. How did that happen?
Buffy, you want to talk about that?
Well, I think that when I was 4 or 5 was the first year that I started designing a picture for the calendar. And I think my parents just wanted to get the three daughters involved in the project that was happening every year. So we just started designing, and it's been happening every year since then.
So how does it work? Yep. Each of you do some pages, and I know that your parents did pages. Who decides what passes the test?
So this is Crispina. When we started designing pages as little kids, our parents just thought it would be a good idea for us each to start with our birth month. And then, like, the following year, we do the following month. So every year, everybody moves ahead 1 month. So right now, the way we do it is Sophia and myself, we each have two daughters, and we each do a page, Sophie and I, and then the four girls. And then we have actually two vintage prints from each of our parents. So we bring in a month that they designed, you know, it could have been from any time since 1970. And then we reprint those designs, and we try to stick pretty much to like original colors or whatever. And then we also have another sister. Her name is Felicitas French, and she's super sick. She has multiple sclerosis. So we do a page using her artwork from when she was able to draw. She was an amazing artist. And we just reformat a piece of her artwork and make a page for her. Then we also do a page for my son, who passed away about a year ago. So yeah, that was hard. But every page, every month moves forward 1 month the next year. So when the kids were little, we didn't want to have all the children's artwork together. We wanted to break it up with more kind of experienced artists. So that's kind of how we first separated the little ones out. And I don't think everybody started with their birth month because of that. But now our youngest artist is 13. So their artwork is really developing every year, which is one of the things people love to see about the calendar. Is like, you know, a lot of our customers are people who we don't know in person, and they follow along. And some of them have been following us since Sophie and I were both little. So they kind of feel like they know us just through sharing that every annual kind of artwork update, if you will.
Like the Chartoks have always done. We wouldn't think of a year without the great calendars. So into all of this comes the genetics. Your parents were great artists. They really were, and we know that. And you guys are great artists, and your kids are coming along as artists. You know, I can draw that same house I was drawing when I was in kindergarten with a cloud over it. So some people have it, and some people don't. I ask every musician I talk to, is this something that is genetic? What do you guys think?
This is Sophia, and I think that our children have been brought up in a world where art is surrounding them, and we also are very accepting to all different types of creations that the children make. When the children were younger, Crispina and I would collect artwork that they had drawn throughout the year and then go over it with each little one to say, let's see if we could turn this into a design for the calendar. So it was a collaboration with the child and myself or my sister to pick out the picture that would be used for the calendar. So that's how we do it.
Yeah, I have to agree with Sophie. One of the things that you might not know, Alan, but one of our family members is adopted, and she is an amazing artist. So I feel like genetics certainly does play a role, I think, for most of us. But I think for Jamie, she's been submerged, you know, just there's art supplies, like with all the Zoom home schooling stuff that everybody's doing now. Like one of my kids is taking an art class, and the art teacher sent home a bunch of art supplies, and I thought, well, we already have art supplies. Like, most families don't, I think. Our family has, you know, there's paper, and there's crayons, and there's markers, and there's paint, and there's just always options and ways of making art, and not just two-dimensional. It's kind of what we do for fun, and so I think nurture plays a role as well, where it's available, you know?
So what's the schedule for the calendar every year?
We were just talking about this the other day. Sophie and I were laughing about it because this year, of course, it was all thrown off by the pandemic. We normally start printing in March for the following year. This year, we started printing in May because we were just a little nervous about bringing people to work. But Sophie and I start planning paper and colors of ink and what we're going to do for that'll be different for the following year in January, really. I mean, we ship pretty heavily through January. And then, you know, we usually sell out by like the middle of January. And then we start thinking about the following year, right, Soph?
Yes.
Wow.
No rest for the weary. We don't take a break.
So you sell out. That's fascinating. What's the process for doing this calendar? What's the artistic process?
This is Sophia. I'll talk about the beginning part, and then Crispina can take over for the actual printing process part. But the beginning of it is, of course, to create the image that will be used for the calendar design. And one thing that is really important to take into mind when we're creating the image is that the image is going to be made with either one or two colors, which really can be a difficult thing to try to draw a picture where you're only able to use two colors. So that's one of the really important things to keep in mind when you're creating the image. Also, the fine, fine detail has to be taken into consideration because when you're screen printing, it can be very difficult to get a very fine line. Then Crispina can tell you what happens next.
Yes. So we draw them out on a piece of paper. Usually it's with markers or pencil. So we draw out the image, and then there's like the word of the month and all the numbers and everything. That all gets drawn out. Then the only part of the process where we actually use a computer, we scan the images and we color separate them so that we can make a transparency in a printer that enables us to get the image onto a screen. So when you're making your image, you have to like fill in, okay, this is all going to be red and this is all going to be yellow, so that when you scan it, it's like easy to separate it. So we print the stencils out on this clear kind of acetate kind of stuff that comes out of the printer. And then there's a screen that is coated with a photosensitive emulsion. Like if you're a photographer and you print photos in an old school way, you would use like a coated piece of paper. It's the same principle. And we expose the transparency that has been printed out onto the screen with a light table, then wash the screen out, and where the ink needs to go through the image on the transparency has kept the emulsion from hardening into the screen. So that's how the screens are created. And then we actually take the screen, you have to cure it, and this process all happens early in the summertime, so it's nice and sunny outdoors, and you cure the screens in the sun so that the emulsion becomes really hardened into the screen. And then we tape off the edges of the screen, and we pour ink across the screen, and with a squeegee, you pull ink down the screen, and it pushes the ink through the places in the screen that do not have emulsion in them anymore, where the image has been transferred from those transparencies, and pick up the screen off of your piece of paper, and there's your image. So when people are printing in the print shop, which is actually happening right now, there's two people. So one person pulls the squeegee, and the other person registers the paper on the table and pulls the paper off the back of the screen and puts it onto a drying rack. So it's almost like poetry in motion, we like to call it. It's like you move like with this other person, you're standing pretty close to them, and you have to move carefully so you're not in each other's spaces, and there's wet ink, so you want to make sure that doesn't get on the paper. And my dad was very fastidious. He used to print the calendar on Sundays after he got home from Mass. He went to church every Sunday, and he'd print in his Sunday suit. I think Sophie would agree. I don't think we ever saw him get a speck of ink on that suit. You know, never a print, never a fingerprint. Everything was very tidy, and the prints were completely perfect. And thankfully, the world has gone in the direction of mass production prints from printers that you push a button that says start. And so when we get a fingerprint on our prints, we think, well, you know, it's a sign that this is actually handmade and it's okay. So we strive to have the quality that my dad did. But we also think that it's kind of cool. You know, people really are not aware. You know, there's ink on our hands. We get ink on our clothing when we make them. It does not have anything to do with Epson or Hewlett Packard or any of the other printers that you might have out there. It's very old school.
So yeah. This is 50 years, guys, right?
Alan, how did that happen?
No, I don't know, because I'm sitting here even older than that, quite a bit older. So that's amazing. 50 years, which is why we're doing this interview, because it's an extraordinary accomplishment. Now, these calendars are pretty big, aren't they?
They are. They're 12 by 24 inches. People save them. It's just so interesting how having a calendar business as even a teenager, young adult, and even into my adulthood, I never really thought about how people are just very attached to the calendar. Like 85% of our customers are repeat customers. People have a spot on their wall where the Dolphin Studio calendar goes. And
right.
Sophie, you have more stories about customers than I do, but it's fun and cool.
Yeah, a lot of the customers really feel like they know us personally because they get the calendar every year. However, we've never actually met these people. But when we send the calendar, we always send a photograph of the family and a little story of what happened that past year. So a lot of these customers have watched Crispina and I like grow up really essentially via a photograph. And now they've seen our children grow up as well through this photograph. So they really have a connection. People really feel like they are our family friends. And honestly, every year I talk to the same people who call to order their calendar, and it's always nice to sort of catch up with them, and they feel like it's become such a tradition within their family.
Sophia Crispina, thank you so much for this wonderful time we've had today. It really gets me right in the heart because I remember your folks so well, and they did such a great job, and you're doing a great job carrying it on. I want to congratulate you on 50 years of the Dolphin calendar.
Thank you, Alan.
Thank
That's
you
awesome.
So much, Alan. Thank you. It's so nice to be here with you.
That's Crispina French and Sophia Hughes, sisters who run the Dolphin Studio, a hand-screen printing company based in the Berkshire Hills of Western Massachusetts. You can find out more by going to thedolphinstudio.com. thedolphinstudio.com. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.